Okay, I think I'm on because I see the meter going, popping away. So let me begin. I am very lucky. I have two charming guests in my house today. Israel Tech Seeger and his wife, Joan Merrill. Joan is a very lovely, charming lady who used to be a vocalist with the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy show. And I would like to ask Joan some questions about her experiences as a radio performer. Joan, let me ask you to hold the mic.
All right, just one correction.
Yes, ma'am.
I was the singing star of the Edgar Bergen show.
Spoken like a star. Let me ask you this. I asked some of the questions earlier. How did you first get into show business, Joan?
Well, I've been singing since I've been a little girl. I don't ever remember not singing. And just continued on until suddenly one day something very important happened in my life, and that was when I did a recording called How Did He Look for RCA Victor or a subsidiary Bluebird Recordings.
And
that's how it happened.
Somebody heard that recording.
Oh, yes.
2 million
yes.
people heard that recording. At least 2 million
many
people
more than 2 million. Over 2 million people bought the record, yes. Unfortunately, at that time, we didn't have and we weren't presented with gold records. So that was the only drawback I can think of right now.
But somebody in the accounting office was adding up the pennies and nickels and quarters and
all. Oh, yes.
Also, somebody from the Bergen show had to have contacted you or your agent, and could you tell us about how that got started and how you first met Edgar Bergen?
Well, precisely, you just said, David, they had heard my record. They had seen me perform on Broadway and in the various clubs, and they asked to interview me. And, of course, I was very interested in going on their show, and we had about one home broadcast in New York and then flew out to California, where we traveled from one army base to a naval base, and this continued for the full year I was with the show.
Could you tell us something about some of the famous performers who almost as famous as you, who performed as guests on the Bergen McCarthy program? Any interesting anecdotes that you might?
Oh, they were all so wonderful. One in particular I'll always remember. Linda Darnell, excuse me, was a very, very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl, and we shared this large dressing room just before the show, and my sister, who was a very beautiful woman. At that time, a girl, and I were making up in front of the same mirror, unfortunately, because I got finished making up my face, thinking that I looked rather well, and I looked at my sister, and I thought she looked beautiful, and we both looked at Linda Darnell, and then we looked at ourselves again, and then we added more rouge, and then I added more mascara, and couldn't beat that beauty. I mean, she was really something outstanding. Lovely, lovely girl. Most of the guest stars were very charming, very warm.
I find it interesting hearing you talk about the makeup before the programs. Some of the popular movies in the 1940s, which featured excerpts from radio programs, seemed to always show the radio performers going on with the tuxedos and formal gowns, and yet one thinks that the audience, in many cases being limited to a studio audience, the performers might not have been that interested in their appearance. It was their voice rather than their physical.
Oh no. Particularly when you're broadcasting for the boys in the Army. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Or the Navy. One must look their best for them. Always, always. We were always very, very particular how we looked.
if you could you talk a little bit about the rehearsals for the programs? Did it require a great deal
we
of
started,
time in terms of rehearsal?
Well, we started to rehearse on Thursday for my vocal numbers. And Ray Noble and I would sit down and work out our arrangement, or rather my arrangement, together. And on Sunday, we would meet early in the day, and we would go over the dialogue, sitting in an office doing that, of course. And it entailed not too much, because you have a bunch of pros there. It was my first experience with speaking lines on radio, but they were really pros. So it wasn't too difficult, and it wasn't too time-consuming.
What was Edgar Bergen like to work with? He is, of course, a legend in show business.
Right.
Could you tell us anything about the Bergen personality?
A very wonderful, wonderful man. A very sweet man, very gentle man. He was very quiet until he put the dummy on his lap, Charlie McCarthy, and then he became alive. I think that what happened was that his personality came out of the mouth of Charlie, and it was fascinating to watch and to listen to.
Did he write any of his own material?
Yes, they did. They had a staff of writers, yes. But I'm certain he had a great deal to do. And then, as we went along, we would correct anything we felt could be, you know, done better in a better way.
I was going to ask you about Ray Block even before I asked you about... I'm sorry,
Ray Noble.
Before I asked you about Ray Noble earlier, but I don't want to cause you to say anything on tape that might be embarrassing.
No.
In terms of the kind of individual he was to work with.
Well, he was a fine musician. He was a fine arranger. And he was a good actor. He was great. And everyone was rather nice to work with, very nice to work with, particularly the guest stars.
Can you tell me at all about any of the other radio programs that you might have performed that you indicated earlier that you had performed?
I had been on Fred Allen's show as a guest singing star, and I had been on
Steve Allen had been on
Songs for Sale, and I had been on a show as a guest star on Ruby Valley's radio show.
All of us in the mid-1940s, 44.
Right, uh-huh. And I had toured on the road with Ruby Valley for about 6 months.
Now, when you say toured, was this...
doing theaters throughout the country.
As his vocalist. Did Ruby have a...
No, as my own act. I had my own act, and he had a package. He had a whole show. He had a dance team and a dancer and a comedian.
Did he emcee the program?
Yes, he sang as well. Mm-hmm.
I guess sometimes one doesn't know the right questions to ask in order to elicit as much information that would be of interest to radio hobbyists. But I think anybody who listens to the Edgar Bergen programs or the Rudy Valley programs or Fred Allen basically want to know as much as they can about what it was like to work with these people and what it was like basically in terms of the routine of being a radio performer.
Very difficult, and of course to one who had been in show business it was an everyday occurrence, so it's rather difficult for me to pick out any one thing that might interest the people listening. It's a marvelous business. It's a fantastic business. People are so interesting. Don Ameche, for one, is just about one of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. He too is a gentle man and a marvelous sense of humor. Just great to work with. And basically what it boils down to is sitting down and rehearsing and stopping and correcting certain lines, feeling that you have a better idea, and very difficult actually to go through it and to try to define precisely what might interest people listening, because as I say, it was an everyday occurrence to us. Just being together, getting ideas from one another.
Do you find that, I'm maybe projecting something that doesn't exist, the role of the vocal star or the vocalist on a particular program differs from the Ian who is on almost throughout the program? You have a spot.
Right.
And then there's some comic relief, and there's a commercial, and
exactly, right. I had two spots in the show, one at the beginning of the show and one towards the end of the show, at which time I would have dialogue with Charlie and then go into my song.
When you had that dialogue with Charlie, did you think you were talking to Charlie or Edgar?
No, I thought I was talking to Charlie. One never looked at Edgar when Charlie was talking to him. He was a character. He was the character.
What kind of feeling did you get speaking to, I don't know, how old was Charlie at the time? A teenage boy?
Oh, my. Well, Charlie...
A little moniker?
I guess he was a teenage boy, I guess. What kind of a feeling did I get?
Charlie used to flirt with Marilyn Monroe.
Charlie flirted with everybody. And he was one of the cutest characters.
You didn't feel like Bergen flirting with you.
No, it was Charlie. And it might very well have been Bergen because, as I told you earlier, he was a very quiet man. But as soon as Charlie opened his mouth, he was anything but quiet.
Charlie, of course, has a much different personality than Mortimer.
Yes.
Effie Klink.
Yes.
Did Bergen change when he had Mortimer or Effie, or was he the same Bergen?
He was the same Bergen. Naturally, the voices were different. The characters were entirely different. They were fantastic to look at as well as to listen to.
Did he have more than one dummy that he would bring just in case something happened to Charlie? Did he have a...
I imagine he did, David, but I'm not certain about that. I'm certain he must have had a couple.
You never saw any Charlie getting any makeup or Charlie getting any paint job?
No. Charlie was always spick and span and ready to go.
Always wearing his full dress outfit. I recall they used to sell McCarthy dolls at the time. Children could buy those. They were very popular.
Yes.
Did you ever own a Charlie McCarthy doll yourself?
No, I had him every Sunday, and that was enough for me. He was cute.
Have you had any regrets in terms of leaving the Bergen program or not being on radio beyond that?
No, because I had made moving pictures. And later I appeared on television shows. I love to perform in theaters and nightclubs. I like the rapport that I have with the audience. And no, I didn't miss radio, quite honestly.
Do you miss it today when you turn on the tube and hear nothing but either news or
Do I miss the radio? I don't believe so because there's television now, and there is no need for shows on radio per se. I have listened to some shows on radio that I find are quite interesting, but for the most part, as you say, they are news programs and record programs, which I listen to quite frequently. But I think television is certainly here to stay.
So shall we embarrass Tex and ask him if he would like to comment on listening to his wife in the South Pacific?
it was really great. I had taken with me to the Pacific in 1945 quite a number of the air check records that Joan had taken off the air of her songs, and I had occasion to play them for the crew on the battleship Iowa when we were at sea. We used to play them over the public address system to entertain the crew. Got great responses. And we would also have opportunity there to hear the shortwave rebroadcasts of the Ace of Bergen show.
Were they popular on the show?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we got those. We got shortwave direct from the States at times. And then we had the Armed Forces records that they sent out to the ship, the 16-inch records that we had to play on a special record player that we would listen to. I used to make it a practice whenever I had time off to play it on the radio. On the loudspeaker system on the ship, so that it would broadcast through the whole ship to entertain the crew with my wife singing. It was quite a thrill. I'm getting a kick out of now collecting the old Ace of Bergen shows, looking for some that I no longer have the reproductions of, because a lot of them wore out and got broken while I was overseas, and some that Joan had here got broken as well. We're trying to track down people who have the old Ace of Bergen shows of November 44 to May 45, and want to get the extracts of the songs that she did.
Certainly, if anyone ever listens to this tape and has a Bergen and McCarthy program with Joan Merrill, you have the ones that have Linda Darnell, or Janet Blair, the Orson Welles. But if there are any others that surface and we can get them to you, we will do our best.
Yeah, there's one in particular that I like to get, with one with Rudy Valley as a guest. I remember very distinctly that two great songs on it. Accentuate the positive, and Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week.
I remember that from
that was the last broadcast that I heard before I went overseas on New Year's Day in 45. There were others that Joan did, where she did some great songs, Night and Day for one, that I haven't been able to locate. I'd love to get my hands on.
We will hunt for you. Thank you very, very much for being patient and cordial and sweet and everything else.
Right back at you.
My pleasure.